This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Johnson plugs it in for Aidan Flynn! They've done it!
Gregory is in the box, tries to screw him. Is it going to be there? Yes! Oh my word! It's in!
You're listening to the number one pod for Sheffield Wednesday. This is the Wednesday Till I Die podcast. The gap to Ipswich last season was just 2 points. The gap next season could well be two divisions, and it certainly showed that yesterday. Hello and welcome to the Wednesday Till I Die podcast. I'm James Mappin. Alongside me this week, I have to say, quite reluctantly, given the performance and the result, is Steve. Steve, how are you, mate? You all right?
Well, I've just about recovered, James. I think getting a night's sleep helped me, you know, regain my equilibrium.
Yeah, do you know what? I've often thought this. You know, if we did this podcast the evening of a game or straight after full time, I'm sure it would be very, very different in terms of what we talk about. Because yeah, it was grim, weren't it? Yesterday, just one of those games where you just think, why do I even bother? Do you know what I mean? It were terrible. Other than the football, how's your weekend been, Steve? Any all good? All good.
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah, can't grumble.
Yeah, I've took the kids out this weekend. Bit of swimming, you know. Got to keep the fitness up, you know. Especially when you're in the shape that I'm in. I don't think a bit of swimming is going to do any sort of difference. But I keep telling myself that, you know, all good. But I've just tried to do things to take my mind off that result at the weekend, 6-0 against Ipswich. It's a poor one. One thing though that I want to talk about just before we get into the actual result and the performance, I know we've got a lot to say. I don't know if you saw a tweet that I put out. January the 22nd, 2023, Ipswich played Oxford away from home and the fog was horrendous. My tweet was, the fog was that bad for Ipswich yesterday at Oxford. They could only just see the top two. At that point, Plymouth were top, we were second, and Ipswich were third. At the time, it were a banger of a tweet. I thought I was really proud of myself. Yeah, obviously we all know what happened last season, and every time we play Ipswich recently and when things have happened, boy, do the Ipswich fans let me know about that tweet. And look, it's still there. It's still there for everyone to see. And when I say everyone to see, 701,000 impressions that tweet's had since it went out. So, yeah, do you know what? I just know as well, when I saw the goals coming in, I'm thinking, how long is it going to be until I get this notification about this tweet? It didn't take too long at all. But look, you have to have a laugh and a giggle about stuff like this, don't you? It's banter at the end of the day. And they're having the last laugh on this one, I think. Steve, before the game then, Ipswich away, Portman Road, how did you feel? I wasn't too nervous, mainly because I just thought that, like I've mentioned a few times, Leeds, Ipswich, both at the top, I was just like, whatever happens. I'd already kind of, in my head, thought two defeats from those games and let's just look at the final eight. So I wasn't nervous thinking we need to get a result from this game. What did you think?
I was quite quietly confident that we could maybe get a point. I thought we were perhaps going to get them at a good time, you know, after the bad defeat that they had at Cardiff. I just thought there might be a vulnerability there that we could exploit. You know, they were under a lot of pressure to win that game. Mm. If they were going to stay in the race for the top two, they had to win. And I just felt, you know, if we could keep them out for sort of 20, 25 minutes, that big crowd would go quiet, would start to turn, and we'd have half a chance. But obviously we didn't get to 20 minutes, did we?
No, we didn't. I kind of agree. As much as I've said, you know, I put a zero against that game and thought that we were going to lose, it wouldn't have surprised me if we would come away with something. Because I feel like we have been playing pretty well. We haven't been setting the world alight by any stretch. I don't think this squad could do that, if I'm being perfectly honest. But I think that, you know, you look at the results and the run that we're on and, you know, the defeat against Leeds, you can probably just, like I've just said, you know, just accept that Leeds are just a far better side than us and we can move on from that. And I think the fact that Ipswich were in League One last season and you know, quite a few of those players in that squad came up against some of those players that were there yesterday. So, you know, from a mental standpoint, they were thinking, look, these only finished 2 points above us. Obviously, you know, we'll get onto things as to why they're no longer a team that are just 2 points ahead of us anymore. But yeah, I wasn't particularly nervous. Like sometimes I wasn't there. I watched it on iFollow, but most of the games I do have some, there's something riding on it. And it did feel weird to me that, you know, the way that I felt anyway, that you know, we're 9 games until the end of the season, we're in the relegation zone. And I wasn't particularly fussed or particularly bothered. Like, so it was a weird, weird feeling. Cause I'm never normally like that. I'm going to say I'm a bag of nerves, but I'm normally any game, I get up for and everything like that. And I just, maybe I knew what was coming. Maybe I knew that it was going to be a tough game. And well, I certainly didn't think it was going to be a 6-0, by the way. We'll get onto it in a second. Let's talk about the starting lineup then, Steve. 4 changes from the side that lost 2-0 to Leeds the week before. In came Ehekwe, Iorfa, Volks and Perveda. Out went Valentin, Bambo, Palmer and Famewo. So it were Beadle in goal, Iorfa, Ehekwe, Bernard and Johnson, Volks and Bannon, Masaba, Perveda, Gassama and Ugbo. A very attacking starting lineup when you're coming up against a side that's, well, as it finished the day in second in the league, you know, going for automatic promotion. What did you think to this starting lineup? I think we're a bit contradicting conflicting, should I say, in terms of how we thought. Because I thought, let's give it a go. You saw the alarm bells ringing big time, didn't you?
I did indeed, because this was the same lineup that we played against Birmingham City. And although Birmingham City was a great 2-0 win, you know, and we were all happy with it, there were one or two disturbing signs in that game with this formation where I felt that Birmingham were playing through us too easily. The difference between Birmingham and Ipswich is that when Birmingham played through us and got to the final third, they did the square root of nothing with it. But obviously Ipswich were a completely different proposition. But that there's always got to be a balance between defence and an attack, and it was just too attacking to go to a side in such a rich vein of form with such an attacking lineup. It was just asking for trouble, and as soon as I saw the team, I was worried, very worried.
Yeah, I mean, I spoke about it on the preview show, the number of goals that Ipswich have scored in recent weeks. Yes, they've conceded a hell of a lot, and I was taking a crumb of comfort from that they do concede a lot of goals. But I mentioned it, they score a lot as well. And well, they didn't concede any. And they definitely scored a hell of a lot of goals on Saturday. And from that starting lineup, it's a weird one because I don't know what Danny Rowles thinking, because we've been battered now, I want to say four times this season. Well, four times since Danny Rowles come in, you know, 4-0 Southampton, 4-0 Huddersfield, 4-0 Millwall as well. And then, a 6-0 against Ipswich. And I feel like, all right, let's take the Millwall one out of that one. But certainly Huddersfield, Southampton, Ipswich, it's because we've kind of done the same thing in each instance. Gone far too attacking. Right, the Huddersfield game, it was fairly even until we conceded a goal, and then we just kind of threw the kitchen sink at it, and it all kind of came tumbling down. And I felt like whilst you want to see your team attack, you want to see your team press and everything else. In hindsight, when you look at it, I just feel like it has he been too naive in the way that he set us up. Has he kind of not understood the task that was in hand? Look, I mean, I'm not saying if we'd have parked the bus and put 11 men behind the ball, it could have been the same result. You never know. Nobody's got that crystal ball to say, well, this would have happened, this wouldn't have happened. But I just feel that after probably, 10 minutes in, it reminded me of when you're at school, when you're in, year 11, and you're playing against, a mixture of year seven and year eight lads, and you're just taking piss out of them. They've got about 15, 18 players. You've got seven, but because you're bigger and older, you're just passing it around them. They're running around like headless chicken. And it just felt like that. And, it felt very much very, very one-sided. I feel like I've gone and talked about what the game and everything whilst we're still talking about the starting lineup. One positive, though, was that Jan Pavada was back, weren't he? Because we certainly missed him against Leeds. Obviously, he was only ineligible because he has come from Leeds. But it was, certainly for a period of time, good to see Pavada back, weren't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's our difference maker because obviously in the modern game, teams press very efficiently. And I just thought several times during the Leeds game, Leeds pressed us very efficiently, and I was sitting there thinking, oh, if Pavada was playing, he's got the ability to drift past two or three men and completely destroy the press. And because he wasn't there against Leeds, we didn't have that. So I was really pleased that he was back because we had that, we had that difference maker, that player that can go past two or three men and open the game completely up, create a bit of mayhem. So I was pleased to have him back, but some people might disagree with me on this one, but I prefer him wide rather than playing in the middle.
Yeah.
Behind the striker, for the simple reason that he's not the biggest, he's not the best at running back, that's not his game. And I just think he gets a little bit more time and space out wide, and he's got the option of coming inside or going down the outside. I just think he's a more effective player.
Yeah, I have to agree with that, really. When you're in the middle, you get the ball, and more often than not, bang, there's a tackle coming straight in. You haven't got much time to think. Whereas when you're out wide, especially if you switch the ball and switch the play, and we do play, if we are playing with width, which we didn't do against Ipswich, the lads have got chalk on the boots, both sides really wide, and you can switch it. And by the time that the opposing team have come across to you, you've already picked the ball up, you've controlled it, you took a couple of touches and you're on your way, aren't you? So and with his quick feet, he can he can quite easily get past someone. So yeah, I do tend to agree. I think all in all, he's just got it wrong. The way we've set up is just totally wrong. I think Kieran McKenna even said when he saw the starting lineup and saw that we've gone with four attacking players, he got a bit excited thinking we can do these. And even Richie, who I spoke to, the Ipswich fan, he said if you try and go toe to toe with us, nine times out of ten we'll sweep teams aside. And And yeah, it certainly showed. Maybe Danny Rill should have listened to the preview show a little bit, and he might have known. Although I do trust that he would have known that anyway. One, obviously, omission, Paul Valentin. I did think, on the face of it, a little bit harsh. Obviously, I get that just because they've been, you know, quote unquote, dropped, it's not always because of poor performance or anything like that. It's a multitude of different things. A squad's there to be used. It's not just a case of using the same player week in, week out. I mean, I can see why. I think defensively he's not fantastic, but obviously he's great going forward. I mean, I suppose it wouldn't really have mattered, would it, if he'd have played? Because we hindsight, we weren't great defensively anyway, were we?
Well, we weren't, but I think the reason we were so shit defensively is because we've been playing three at the back for weeks, and then we suddenly switched to a four. And, you know, a lot of the players looked lost. They had no positional sense. You know, they've been used to playing in a three, and then I thought Deshaun Bernard, in particular, was absolutely abysmal, and I felt that like he looked lost playing in the two. He just looked lost. But going back to Paul Valentin. In his post-match comments, Danny more or less admitted that he'd shit the bed, didn't he? And he mentioned that one of his tactical plans was to play Masaba into the gap that Leif Davis leaves when he gets forward. But thinking about the game before, and I felt that if we did have Paul wide on the right and we had Iorfa playing right-hand side centre-half, you know, there were opportunities there. You got two players who could athletically compete with him, because it's all about up and down with Leif Davis. He's not particularly tricky, is he?
No.
He's just like, get down the wing and whip it in. So if you've got a player who can stay with him for pace and just try and slow him down and stop him getting that good delivery. But we got two really quick players on that side of the pitch. And if we played it right, a bit like with the Bristol City game, we might be able to get Paul in. If Leif Davis out does a long run and we can turn possession over, then Paul could be launched into that gap. And I thought, that could be something quite promising in the game. And that little avenue was closed off because he didn't even play a three, did he? He played a back four.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those. I often think these are professional footballers. They should be able to play whichever formation. You know, it's nothing new, you know, it's nothing revolutionary playing a back four instead of playing a back three. However, having said that, it all comes in with muscle memory, doesn't it? You know, doing the same thing over and over again. And a part of me is like, you know, is it really the time to start, you know, chopping and changing things when you've got nine games to go, which ultimately are going to decide whether we're in the championship or not? You know, if we're mid-table, maybe you can look at thinking, well, we can try something for next season. You know, we're not going to go down. We're not, you know, we're probably not going to go up. Let's kind of plan for the future and see if this is going to work or not. You know, part of me, I mean, like, again, hindsight's a wonderful thing. When you get hammered 6-0, everything you did try is clearly the wrong thing to try. And I get that. And if we'd have pulled off a miraculous win, everyone would have been saying, oh, let's play a back four every single week. But I don't know, it's part of me just thinking, was it the right time to do that? And should we have just, you know, should we have just played the formation that we've been playing for those, you know, four, five wins that we had in recent weeks? And, you know, it's no surprise that we played well in those games. I thought we dominated most of them. All right, the opponents that we come up against weren't of the same ilk as an Ipswich or a Leeds or anything like that, but we got a good result from those games, and we've just totally changed it again, and it just didn't work at all. Steve, from the game overall, we just weren't good enough. I've got written down here, golf in class. I think I had that written down from the Leeds game as well, because there was a distinct golf in class there. I didn't really expect to be right in that. Even though Ipswich are where they are in the league, you know, I can't get over the fact that they were playing in League One last season, just like we were. They were tipping up against Accrington Stanley, Forest Green, Cheltenham, all these other teams that we were playing last season. I just can't get over the difference in both sides. They're absolutely light years ahead of us, aren't they?
Well, maybe this is the... I did write some notes about this, but maybe this is the point where we have to turn and doff our cap to Ipswich Town Football Club, because you're looking at, you know, a club that is exceedingly well run from top to bottom. They've got, you know, a top-notch CEO in Mark Ashton, and he's brought in top people like Kieran McKenna to run the team for him. I think they're owned by an American pension fund, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
And you know, they've spent money. Certainly, spent a lot more on transfers than those now. From what I understand, a lot more on wages as well. And each transfer window, they incrementally sort of improve the team, don't they? And it's a steady rise. And one of the things I think advantages that Ipswich have got in their particular promotion battle is, a lot of the players were in the squad last season, and so they've experienced a tight promotion running, and they know how to deal with it. And as they proved on Saturday, they do know exactly what to do, don't they? They're probably in a better place than the likes of Leeds and Leicester, because last season they've gone through exactly the same thing. But you've got to take your hat off to Ipswich. I mean, I think man for man, that is not a top six squad. If you look at the man for man on paper.
Yeah,
but you know the sum of the parts, they're a top three team.
Yeah,
and you know it just shows you what can be achieved when you run your club properly. You know, they're run like a professional sports team. We're run by a tyrant who runs the club like a second train set. There's your difference.
Yeah, and it's clear to see there yesterday, and I was Danny Real made reference to it, didn't he? I don't know if it was kind of a little bit of a dig. Obviously, it was being complimentary, just like you are of Ipswich. But in doing so, what you're actually saying as well is that we're miles behind. We are nowhere near this football club. You know, we did great last season to get to where we did. I think, you know, the quality of League One is pretty poor when you get, you know, when you take away the top 10 clubs, the rest of it is really, really shite. And you know, just we got so close. It was nearly a fantastic season, but obviously we fell short in the end. And yeah, you're right. Ipswich have just kind of, it has been those incremental changes. I know I said it on the debate show about how last January, the fact that they weren't in the top two made them probably spend a little bit more than what they probably wanted to. But what they did do is bring in players that were championship quality. I think they brought Broadhead in. He's one that certainly stands out. I mean, I'm just having a look at some of the signings that they made in the transfer windows that have gone by. And I'm also looking at the starting lineup that they put out on Saturday as well. You know, Burgess, he scored. He came in not last season, the season before. He came in from Accrington. Connor Chaplin, he didn't play, but I think he has been playing this season. They signed him 2 seasons ago. I think Sam Morse played in the middle of the park with Mass. He was signed a couple of years ago. I think last season they brought in the goalkeeper that were... didn't have a great deal to do last season. Wes Burns, he was brought in 2 seasons ago. You know, if you look at our team, there's not many players that we brought in 2 seasons ago. We've pretty much got players that we brought in this season, and all the rest have been here for years. You know, your Bannons, your Palmers, your Dominic Iorfas, all those players like that. They've been here for a while, and then it is just the churn that you get every single season and new players, whereas they've got players, you know, you look at last season, well, they brought in a few players. Start of this season, I mean, Amari Hutchinson absolutely ran the show yesterday. They've just, incrementally just added and bettered the side and just continued to do what they were doing. I think, they got took over by new owners, which does help things. We've not had that, you know, certainly not in the last 3 or 4 years, so that's gonna go and really help you when you're trying to do these things and spend a bit of money. But they've just gone about it the right way, and you could argue that, you know, everything they've touched has turned to gold somewhat. You know, it's all worked, whereas these teams that, you know, we could do the similar and it not work and end up in a bit of a bit of a pickle. But yeah, it's just like I said, when you look and you think, oh God, they've done it the right way and they're reaping the rewards, and we're facing, you know, another trip to said Accrington and Cheltenham and everyone else down in League One. Wrexham could be, couldn't it, you know, next season. Mansfield, they look like they could be coming up out of League Two. For me, just going back to the game yesterday, there were just gaps and holes all over the place. You know, I've looked at the average positions that we were playing, and it looks very much like a 4-2-2-2. I know some people said it were a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-3-3. You know, I think it could be a multitude of different things. But one thing was certain, Steve, we tried to play very narrow, and I can't believe the amount of gaps that there were, considering where you look at where the players actually were. We were all bunched up in the middle, but yet they were just passing around us as if we were stood still and we weren't there.
It was... Honestly, it was almost laughable, wasn't it? You know, when I was watching some of the goals before coming on air, I was watching some of the goals back, and it was Keystone Cops, wasn't it? People not tracking the runners. I mean, like that second goal. You know, nobody latching onto the rebound off the bar and clearing it, letting the ball bounce. I mean, it was an absolute masterclass on how not to defend, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was just from start to finish. Just, I think, Joe, you know what? Let's talk about the game then, because I thought the first 5 or 10 minutes we started pretty well. I thought we came out of the traps and we did exactly what we were supposed to do, and I think we did exactly what they expected us to do as well. You're starting bright, getting the faces. You know, I think the idea is to try and nick an early goal or go ahead as early as you possibly can and make that, you know, expend up most of your energy in them first 5 or 10 minutes to, you know, to get that advantage. And it was all, you know, we were really pressing really high up the pitch. There were a few times where, you know, we caused them to make a few mistakes. And, you know, like I said, those first 5 or 10 minutes, I thought we looked all right, Steve.
Yeah. I was thinking to myself, hello, this is looking all right. And then it just, foomf, evaporated. They knew exactly what they were doing, and they knew. I mean, they looked 10 times quicker, 10 times sharper to everything, didn't they? And they just, they've got the prescribed method of playing, and they just kept doing it and doing it. And after 10 minutes, we were gone.
I just felt simple like they had more time on the ball. Every time they passed it around, I don't know whether that were true or just kind of perceived that it felt like they had more time, or they just looked more composed. You know, they picked the right pass every single time. They picked a pass out to someone who was in space. Even if they weren't in space, they seemed to keep hold of the ball. And we were just running around like headless chickens. There were times where it felt like we had 10 men. You know, the amount of space that they had. And it's one of those where, I mean, the first goal goes in, what, 15 minutes in? Like you said, you get to 20, 25 minutes. For me, I was thinking, get to half time and, you know, still be within a chance. I mean, if it's 0-0 at half time, fantastic. That for me would almost be like going in 1-0 at the break, to be honest. Just knowing, you know, like you said, they're going to get on the backs. I know from previous experience, like last season, when I know we were 2-0 up, I think it was 2-1, I think, just before half time. But their fans, until they scored, they were really, really unhappy. I know things are probably a bit different this season, but I felt like if we could get in at the break, we're there or thereabouts, we'd be all right. But to concede a goal after 15 minutes, and we've only picked up 4 points, Steve, from losing positions. When we've gone behind, there's only two occasions that we haven't lost that game. You know, we won one and we've drawn another. And I think there's 19 games that we've failed to do that. You know, I know obviously a lot of those, you know, quite a lot. There was at the start of the season when we seemed to lose every single game, every single week. But, you know, this team, when they go behind, fail to come back. And, you know, that first goal, is it, they always said it, the first goal is key. And, yeah, we conceded it. What did you think to that first goal? It felt very much like, I know you've referenced the Birmingham game, it felt very much like Ike Ugbo's goal against Birmingham, the way that it was kind of on the swivel.
Well, he actually, if you look back at it, he actually took quite a bad touch. They went down the wing, and again, I don't know which player it was running down the wing, but he had the freedom of Portman Road to just run down Burns. The wing and pick his path.
It was Wes Burns, our friend, you know, who sent the letter in to get Marvin Johnson suspended retrospectively. It was him who kind of squared it across.
Yeah, and he squared it across, and he took a really bad touch, didn't he? He sort of came at the wrong angle, but, you know, he saw the opportunity and he hit the shot. And I suppose, strictly speaking, it was on Beadle's near post. But it went through a couple of players, didn't it? So he didn't see it until the last minute. And I mean, Beadle could be blamed later on, but I don't blame Beadle for that first goal.
Nah, I think he thinks it's going to the right-hand side, which, to be fair, the way that the ball comes to him, you're probably thinking he's going to curl it into that far corner. You're probably not going to think he's going to cut it back and go for your near post. Fair play to their play. You know, maybe it's one of those double bluff, whatever. You know, he's done something
that did he give him the eyes? You know, did he give him the eyes as well? Did he look in the other corner and then put it in the near post? Who knows? But I mean, from our point of view, it was just you don't look at one of those goals and think, well, what a fantastic play by Ipswich. No. It was all down to us not tracking runners, not stopping the cross. Just mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. I mean, this is a team that's been on form, that won four games on the trot. It's
yeah. You wouldn't have thought it, would you? You wouldn't have thought it didn't look anything like doing anything on Saturday. And like I said, when that first goal went in, the fact that it went in so early on, I just thought, deflating, I think is the word I'll probably use. You know, again, as much as I said that, I didn't think we'd get anything out of the game. You know, you hope that you're going to stay in the game as long as you possibly can. After that, it was pretty much one-way traffic. And I turned to Steve, or watching it with, and I mean, they scored the next goal, 22 minutes later? So there's a fair period of time where, you know, they've not made that advantage count. And I know, obviously, the 1-0 up. And I did turn to Steve and said, look, how many times have we been in this situation, absolutely battering a team? Not necessarily this season, certainly last season, and certainly season before that, you know, the first season in League One, where you're on top, you're really dominating, and the score's either 0-0, or you've got 1-0 up, and you think you're in cruise control. You know, it's only a matter of time until you're going to score 2 and 3. And I think the one that stands out to me, it must be, I think it's Oxford when we played them. I mean, last season or the season before, where Bannon had a penalty after about 10 minutes to make it 2-0. It must be the season before. I want to say that Saido Berahino scored the first goal. But anyway, that's by the by.
And they were Shrewsbury.
Was it Shrewsbury? Yeah. Was it whatever game it was? We were a game where we had a penalty to go 2-0 up. We missed it. And then we'd end up drawing the game 1-1. And we absolutely battered him. And I thought it was going to be a cricket score that day. And, you know, there's a point in this game yesterday where it was only 1-0, and you're thinking, look, if we're going to ride this out, you know, again, they'll think they're cruising. All it takes is one chance, a deflected shot, anything to go in the other end. It's 1-1, and it's back to, you know, they could be panicking a little bit. The problem is, 37 minutes on the clock, and as you said, we just couldn't defend a corner to save his life. Like, it was raggy ass Rovers, you know, just weren't it in the way that the defending was. Steve, a lot of people have said that it should have been a foul on Bernard, Burgess, who scored the goal, had his arms all over him. Should it have been a foul?
When I watched it back a couple of times, I only noticed it when I watched it back a couple of times. So I didn't notice where the referee was. And, you know, it's all about the angle of view that the referee's got. It was definitely a foul, Rich, whether it was sort of in the arc of vision of the referee. I think if the referee had seen it, he would have given it, but because there's a lot of bodies in the box, he probably just didn't see it.
Yeah. Do you know what as well? How many times did the ball ping around in the box like that for us and the other team managed to get it away? And then, I mean, it's probably not the case, but it just feels like when it's pinging around in our box, it's just going to find its way into the back of the net. It's just sod's law, isn't it?
Well, to be honest, I mean, nobody reacted, did they, quick enough? I mean, you know, the Cardinal sin of allowing the ball to bounce happened. Nobody in our defence reacted at all, and Burgess was the quickest to react, and he scored a very easy goal, and it was just embarrassing. It was like watching my son's old Sunday morning team, you know, when he was playing under 14s.
Yeah, I mean,
shocking.
The initial bit, I think it's great. It's key for Moore that gets the header that comes off the bar. It's great movement. I think Dominic Iorff is supposed to be marking him, but he just gets the march on him. Probably a training ground corner routine because it goes straight on his head, and it's a fantastic header. Just obviously, I don't know if Beadle gets a hand to it or not, but it obviously comes cannoning off the bar, and yeah, it's just a melee in the box, and just not dealing with it. Just you know, we're 1-0 down at this point. That goes in, and I think I tweeted game over. It was literally that, weren't it? The fact that they were on top so much, I could not see us getting in that game in a month of Sundays. Do you know what I mean? Like we could replay that game 100 times from 2-0, and I don't think we ever come back from it at all. It was just, yeah. Again, I said I were deflated after the first one. I think after the second one, it was just, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people that would have, if they were watching it, you know, on the telly, they'd have turned it off. And I'm sure there'd be a lot of people in the ground, you know. And I just want to say as well, hats off to everyone that did make that trip. It's been shit away from home this season. Really, really shit. You know, I think we've won 2-3 games or something like that away from home, whatever it is. It's not many. And we've had some absolute batterings as well. So, yeah, hats off to everyone that, I think there were 2,000 fans that went down there to Ipswich. Yeah, great. Great commitment as always, but I'm sure there was a lot that would have probably thought 2-0, right? Could be getting early train. I don't think there's too many train steps, which is there, but they would have been getting missing the traffic and heading away. It feels like all the hard work that we'd kind of put in, just we'd not done it before. You know, we'd never. You know, that had not happened, if you know what I mean. Just it just didn't look like anything was working at all.
I do wonder, actually, just watching the demeanour of the players throughout the game, I do think, I mean, I don't know, it's just my opinion, I suppose, but it looked to me like the players weren't having the formation either.
Yeah.
They were like 11 strangers. I don't know what they. I honestly don't know what they were doing in training this week. But there was no cohesion. There was no organisation, and it was almost as if we knew this. After sort of 2-0, it was like, oh, we knew this weren't going to work.
Yeah.
And just stopped. They just stopped doing stuff. And really, I felt at that point. I am Danny Rowe's biggest fan, but I've got to say, he got it. Woefully wrong, you know, on the day.
Yeah.
Woefully wrong. And you would have thought at that point that he would have changed to after the second goal went in, you would have thought, oh, come on. And he needed to be brave, and he's a brave manager. We weren't brave enough yesterday. He should have gone back to the original formation then.
Yeah.
I think. And tried to shore things up a bit.
Yeah, I think the only saving grace is probably that, like I keep saying, we were expected to lose that game. And I think someone put it in the Discord group that maybe he has seen it as a free hit and he can just try something knowing that, you know, if you're going to lose anyway, look, you're never just going to lose every game. Shocks happen. I know teams this season have beaten, you know, the likes of Leicester and Ipswich, you know, Cardiff beat Ipswich only last week. These things do happen. These teams don't win every single game, but they win more than they lose. Hence why they're sat first, second and third in the league. So when you go into a team like that and you're thinking, you know, we'll probably get beat anyway, I suppose on that regard, it is probably a chance to to try something. But you're right what you're saying. Once it's clearly not working, just go back to what it was before. I don't think any Wednesday fan would have gone, fucking hell, look at him. He tried something new and now he's had to revert back to what he was doing before. He'd probably get applauded for that by going, you know what? He's recognised that we're wrong and he's tried to do something different. I think we all realise that Danny Rill is a new manager. You know, all right, he's been around football a hell of a long time. Well, I would say a hell of a long time, but you know what I mean? He's not like he's new to football. He's just come in and he's been there. You know, he's been in the game at the very top, you know, Bayern Munich, German national side, just to name a few. So it's not like he doesn't know what he's doing. But he is new. He is still learning the game, and I don't think well, for me certainly, I wouldn't have minded if he would have gone back to something that's more tried and tested, really, and recognised that this just wasn't working. I mean, we didn't even get to half time, did we, Steve, with a game at 2-0. I thought at 1-0, like I said earlier, if you're getting at 1-0, just carry on doing what you're trying to do. It might, you know, the game might come to you and they might get frustrated and you might get a chance. Once it's 3-0 at half time, I said 2-0, game over. 3-0, it was starting to get a little bit embarrassing. You know, when the other team don't really celebrate the goals, you know then that it's not really going according to plan, is it? I mean, the third goal, it's a fantastically worked goal. It kind of reminded me a little bit like the Leeds goal in the way that the ball comes across the box in between the defenders and the goalkeeper. We can't get anywhere near it. I think it's Jackson that puts the ball in. Broadhead, excellent movement, gets in between the two defenders. Iorfa's caught napping. He's not tracking his man. Don't get goal side, and it's a good finish in it. And yeah, it was just going from bad to worse, wasn't it, Steve?
Well, I mean, I'm a great believer that in English football in particular, you've got to stop the cross. And I mean, Marv, what was Marv doing? You know, Caden Jackson ran up to him and he went, after you, and he went, no, after you, I insist. You know, go past me and put the cross in. He just like put his hands behind his back and like made a token attempt to close him down.
What is this, putting hands behind your back, Steve, by the way? Like, where?
Oh, well.
What is it all about? I know you're trying not to get handball, but like, you just make it. You might as well just not be there. Like, literally, I really don't get it. I think it's come from the continent, and it's come from, you know, Real Madrid or somewhere like that, where you see him put the arms behind the back. But it does look daft. It never happens. It never works. And 99 times out of 100, ball goes straight, you know. How can you get your body in the way if you've not got your arms out for balance? How can you move to stop the cross? Because, you know, if it comes in and it's up at chest height, and you can move and adjust your body, all right, it might touch your arm. It might do, but you know, you're a professional footballer. You shouldn't have to put your arm behind your back to not handball the ball. Like, come on, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was. And once the cross went in, it was a brilliant piece of movement by Broadhead. I think in a way, Iorfa did well to kind of stay with him and be somewhere in his vicinity.
Yeah,
it was just from their point of view. A good cross and a good finish, but the cross should never have been allowed to go in, and that was the, you know, that was the key to the goal. And I have to say, you know, that was by far and away Marv's worst performance of the season. It was woeful, yeah. And I think I've seen this before in him. I don't think he's entirely comfortable playing left back in a four, because he knows he's got nothing behind him. And particularly against...
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Team like Ipswich, you just come at you in waves. He just couldn't handle it.
He's not a defender.
No.
He's a winger. Let's be right. He's played the vast majority of his football as a winger. He were put in that position.
That's my beef. Yeah, that's my beef with Danny playing this kind of formation. Because if you're going to play this kind of formation, you've got to have top quality fullbacks. And we've got a centre half playing right back and a left winger playing left back. We haven't got the resources in those positions really to play that way.
Yeah.
And the situation is exacerbated by the fact that Musaba and Gassama don't track back properly.
Yeah.
So they very often outnumber 2-1. And that's what happened on the day.
Yeah. You're right. We haven't got fullbacks at all. So when you, again, I go back to, you know, these are professional footballers, you should be able to do these things. But again, when you've not played that position, a lot in your career, you know, you won't have played there as a kid or coming up through the ranks in your professional career. All his game is doing the likes of what Masaba's doing. Well, playing in that position that Musaba and Gassama playing further up the pitch, you don't really have to get back as much as what you want. It's not really needed of you. What you're wanting to do is put the ball in the box. He can't do what he wants to do because he's having to, you know, like you say, it's wave after wave after wave, and he's penned back. I mean, look, Leif Davies does it quite well, and he does bomb forward, but Ipswich are very much gung-ho, aren't they? They are Kevin Keegan, aren't they, of the Championship in terms of if we concede three, we'll just score four, you know, and we'll win the game that way. And it's working from this season. We're not that sort of team. So you just got pinned back, and then you just have not a left-back playing at left-back. That's all that happens. You know, when they can get forward, the trade-off works. But when you're under the cosh, there was only, you know, It was inevitable. At half time, I tweeted saying, "What does Danny Rill say to the lads, you know, in the dressing room?" I'll read a few of these tweets out. Ross says, "Okay, lads, who wants to call it a day and go home?" Sav's similar vein. "Shall we sneak off and get the team bus back to Sheffield?" Thomas says, "Sorry for starting with 4-2-4. I got it wrong, lads." Ben says he would, you know, if he were Danny Rill, he'd say, "Enjoy international break." What else have we got? "Sorry?" question mark. That's from Adam. Steve Haggerty, "Get on the bus." It's Darren Coop on the similar vein as yourself. "Take Johnson off." So Matt Summerhill's put, "Turn on shower five of you." I mean, he made two subs at half time. One of the substitutes was Barry Bannon that came off. Now, I saw someone saying he was on, I think had he got booked earlier on in the first half? I don't know if he had he got booked. I don't think he had.
I can't remember.
I think he was one booking off a suspension. Mm. I think it reset after yesterday's game, and someone was saying, "Oh, he didn't want to get suspended or anything like that." Which I thought, I hope you're right. Obviously, it's transpired that he's actually injured. We don't know, obviously, you know, how bad the injury is, but it felt very, very much the day is just going from bad to worse. You know, when you're 3-0 down at half time, and then arguably one of, if not your best player that you've got in your squad, goes off injured. I mean, he's never injured, is he, Barry Bannon? I can't remember the last time he actually was injured. But yeah, it was a day to forget, really, weren't it?
Yeah, and then obviously, I don't know about you, but I saw it happen. When they scored, was it the fourth goal when Pervada pulled up?
Yeah,
I mean that does look like an hamstring, doesn't it?
Yeah, you can see him, can't you? Just holding back of his knee, bottom of his hamstring. And I'm one of those where if it's a tackle and someone goes off, they'll probably play it next game more often than not.
Yeah,
if nobody's near him and they suddenly have to get subbed off. Then, yeah. I mean, very much like, I think it was Burns, weren't it, that went off in the in the first half, he'll probably be out for quite some time as well. When it happens like that, yeah, it's normally some sort of muscle injury, and yeah, you can expect him to be out for a while. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I've been talking about the Bannon one, but Pervada as well. It was just like, I thought it was, you know, I woke up this morning and I think I put it in the group. I had a terrible nightmare. 6-0 down. Bannon and Pervada went off injured as well. Unfortunately, it weren't a nightmare because it's exactly what happened. And I was watching it thinking, like, is anything gonna work in our favour? The time was going so slow as well. You know, it was what, 48 minutes, and he scored the fourth goal. It was one of those where in my head I'm thinking, maybe Danny Rill's gone. Just go out and win the second half. I mean, you know, if you've ever played football, if someone ever says to you, just go out and win the second half, you know it's not gone well, do you, in the first. But they didn't even do that, did they? You know, there was no, like you've alluded to already, there was no tracking back. It looked like they'd just given up. And I know if the players were there to speak to and you could ask them that question, they'd probably get quite offended if you actually said that. But as a fan, watching the players on that pitch on Saturday, especially in that second half, they did look like they'd just given up, didn't they, Steve?
I thought it was embarrassing. And I think the players ought to be embarrassed in their own performance. There was a distinct lack of moral fibre and leadership on the pitch. Nobody seemed to want to, grab hold of his teammates and say, come on, you know, come on, lads, let's do something. They just accepted their fate and went through the motions. And when you're in our position, I did find that worrying. And, you know, do you know what? At the end of this season, if we do manage to stay up, I think a lot of them players need to go. I really do, because that second half told me a lot about some of those players' characters.
Yeah.
And there was not a lot of character shown in that second half at all.
Do you know what? It's tough, isn't it? I've been in those situations where, you know, if you're playing a particular sport or whatever, where things are just going totally wrong, obviously nowhere near the levels of playing professionally, but just even in amateur sport as well. And you do just feel like you're just walking off and just giving up. But I've got that trait of never giving up. You just keep going, keep battling. Mainly because I think, you know, people will see that from the outside looking in, and they'll be like, you know what, that guy there has just carried on, even though it would have been easy just to walk off. And knowing as well that people have just walked off, I mean, I used to play golf when I was younger as well, and there's been times where someone's having a shocker and they've just literally just walked off the golf course 12 holes in and had enough because it's not going right. And then, you know, they're getting pelters, you know, for doing that, very disrespectful and everything else. And I'm like, I don't want to be that person. And, you know, like I said, I know the players on that pitch on Saturday would say that they've tried their hardest and they were trying, but it's just like when the ball goes past them and not tracking back. I think it was the fourth goal, Al Hamady scored it, where it's a shot from outside the box. Beadle saves it. I think this is probably the one that you're going to allude to, where Beadle perhaps should do a lot better with it. I mean, it's goal number five. I don't think it really matters, does it, at all, to be honest? But, you know, they had cameras behind the goal at Portman Road, and they showed those on the replays, and you just see people just trotting back. Now, again, I know it's not going to make much of a difference. It's already 4-0, but you have to have a bit of pride, and going into these final eight games of the season, you want to say that they can just forget what's happened in this game. But everyone's human, aren't they, end of the day, Steve? And you can't just, you know, if they'd have held it at 3-0 in the second half and had a good second half performance, you can kind of take that into your next game, can't you? I know there's an international break, so it's not like we're playing on Tuesday and you can, you know, use that, you know, quite easily. There is a bit of a break, but still you can look back and go, oh, what, that first half were terrible. Second half, you know, we could have even won the second half 1-0 or something like that. Or if it, like I said, if it were 0-0 in the second half and we'd have lost 3-0, you can go, right, you know, we sorted it out and we can use that into these next games. But there was none of that. And And yeah, one thing that worries me, Steve, with these injuries is that Momo Diaby is not a direct replacement for Barry Bannon. Not like there's no realm that that even enters your head that Momo Diaby is going to replace Barry Bannon and just be able to continue in the way that we do.
It's to lose both your two most creative players, which could have happened, is incomprehensible, really, because you know when Bannon came off against Plymouth and Momo came on, Plymouth started running straight through the centre of our midfield, didn't they?
Yeah.
It's very worrying. I mean, what's he going to do? Play Liam Palmer and Will Vokes in the middle?
Probably. Yeah.
You know. I mean, I'd prefer that to Momo. I mean, I think I don't doubt that Momo's got qualities, but I think the one thing, he can't cope with the intensity and the speed of the English game. That's his problem.
Yeah, I agree. I thought he was great when he first came. I thought he was great when he came back from injury for that one game. Since then, he's just been left wanting, and it's probably why he's a bit part player, and he comes off the bench when players get injured, or he comes off for the final 10 or 15 minutes. Else, if he was as good as what I thought he were, he'd be playing, he'd be starting most games, but he's not. So clearly Danny Rill doesn't see a great deal in him either. I feel like I'm being, you know, extremely negative on here when we're at a point where we need to be positive as a Sheffield Wednesday fan. You know, we're still in with a shout of staying up. Well, more than in with a shout. You know, there's only a point, two, if you want to include our dreadful goal difference, which, you know, Saturday.
Well, that's the other thing. In these, I'm just trying to think, so the Millwall game, the Huddersfield game, the Ipswich game, you know, you've got, 14 goals alone in those three games.
Yeah. Well, there was also the Southampton one as well. So there's been 3-4.
Southampton as well, so that's 18 goals, yeah, isn't it? 18 yeah. goals from four games. So basically, it's like an extra point that we've not got in it.
Well, that goal difference,
we ain't going to catch anybody up on goal difference.
The goal difference of the teams around us, minus 18, minus 14, minus 17, minus 19, and then ours is minus 31. So, yeah, 12, 14, 17 is the three teams that are ahead of us. That's the difference in goals. It could have been a lot closer, couldn't it, basically? As it happens, it's not. I suppose don't really matter about goal difference anymore, does it? We're not going to claw that sort of goal difference back. And, you know, at the time where we were kind of 8, 9, 10 points adrift, in my head I was thinking, yeah, the goal difference is poor, but in order to catch 8 points, you've got to win more games than the teams ahead of you. So you naturally do, you know, at least it's almost like a minimum of two every single game. If you win and they lose, it's a two-goal swing. It's probably going to be more because, you know, they don't all just finish, you know, 1-0. We haven't got kind of that luxury anymore because we're nearly level on points. So, you know, if we win more games to sort his goal difference out, well, we'll be staying up anyway because we'll have just won more games. So, I think goal difference is just, I think you do just have to add an extra point onto whatever the gap is, really, realistically speaking. I mean, and if Plymouth get dragged into it, their goal difference is only minus 8 versus our minus 31. So, and they're only, 3 points ahead of us as it stands at the moment. So, yeah, I keep saying this, but it was just embarrassing from start to finish, really. And I just didn't enjoy any of it. The first 5-10 minutes, I thought we started well. After that, the wheels well and truly fell off. Nothing worked. Everything worked for Ipswich. And, yeah, I stayed and watched it. I sat at the dining room table watching on my laptop, and I didn't have to do much staying. But I had it on until the bitter end and everything. And there were times in that second half where Ipswich just took the foot off the gas, didn't they? And we still couldn't really lay a glove on him at all. It was just just really, really poor. I'm going to ask you in a second, Steve, about as to where do we go from here, because we have got 8 games left. I'm going to talk a little bit about, you know, the games that are coming up. I know obviously we've got this international break where England play, what, Brazil and someone else, I think it is. I'm not really not had a look, but I'm going to read the 3-word match reviews out, and then we'll kind of get thoughts on, you know, where we go from here. Yeah, I know you're giggling. It's not for great reading, put it that way. Jack says, absolute fucking shambles. Chilts, always next week. Yep, there is always next week, and thankfully, we're not playing. So, yeah, at least there will be no, there'll be no 6-0 drubbing next week. Lee Prince, we don't draw. He mentioned this in the Discord group, and it is a great point. Excuse the pun. Because we do not draw any games under Danny. I think 2, I think, is the amount that we've drawn under him so far. And it is like, shit's a bust, isn't it, really, with Danny Rilla. Certainly, the results seem to look like that. It's either we either win the game or we'll not even bother with a point and we'll take none. I'm sure that's not the case, but there isn't any times where he's been just happy with a point. And on one hand, that's great, because you could argue that if he wasn't like that, you perhaps wouldn't have won some of the games that you would have then drawn. You know, you don't just draw games that you were going to lose. It can happen the other way around as well. But it is a great observation. Paul Pashley said, players nowhere near. Andy, that away kit. Have we won in that grey away kit?
Yeah, Millwall.
Millwall, yeah, that was it, yeah. Apart from that, I mean, we've already worn it, to be honest. A bit of a pointless.
I'm glad I haven't bought it, to be honest. I looked at it, I didn't like it very much, so I didn't buy it, and I'm so pleased.
Well, they've worn that. Yeah, I know you're sporting the yellow shirt, which has had 3 different sponsors on it, by the way. Host and Stay, then it's had A-Up, now Serata. You know, it could have another sponsor on it come the end of the season, to be honest. Luke Samuels, season starts tomorrow. Ben Robertson, thankful not 10. It could have been. It certainly, there were times where I were thinking, I know exactly how Sheffield United fans feel. but thankfully didn't get that far. Nicholas, golfing quality. Jacob, still stay up. Matt Owls, sadly, as expected. Dan Wilde went for it. Yeah, we did. Chris Brammer, unforgivable and pathetic. Danny Bowell has just given us a 1-word review this week. Shit is his 1-word review. And I'll read one more out. Stephen said, all about investment. Yeah. Steve, where do we go from here? Part of me thinks, as I've mentioned a few times already, we were going to get beat anyway. And if the players kind of, I don't want to say that the players would have thought that going into the game. Of course, you don't want players to think they're going to get beat, because that's what will happen. But they will probably be targeting these next 8 games. Even, you know, 2 games ago, Leeds, Ipswich, I think they could probably just go, do your best, see if you can get something. Luke's probably right. The season does start now. So, you know, if you lose 1-0 or 6-0, it's still no points. And nobody's, you know, you could probably look at the other teams around us, which we'll get onto in a second, but none of them have taken advantage of us getting an absolute pummeling. So we've kind of got away with it a little bit. So in a weird way, we're probably coming out of this international break thinking, we've not lost anything. You know, I think there was only Blackburn. The Blackburn drew. I can't remember. There was another team that was down there that drew as well. Two teams that have, well, Huddersfield obviously weren't, because Huddersfield played Rotherham.
Cheers, Rotherham. Down to 10 men. Done us another favour. Not.
Yeah. But you know, a couple of teams have picked up a point. And that's it. None of them have won. So yeah, maybe we have kind of got away with it a little bit, but they have just got to forget about it, aren't they? They've got to forget about this 6-0 drubbing. And I suppose maybe this international break has come at a perfect time, Steve.
Oh, absolutely perfect time. It couldn't have come at a better time. You know, we've got a couple of weeks to give us a squeak, maybe, of getting either Pervader or Bannum fit. You know, I mean, obviously Pervader looks like it's a hamstring, but I've no idea what Bannum's problem is, because nobody noticed anything, did they?
No.
I presumably will give the players a few days off to, you know, to the ones that aren't international duty anyway, to go spend time with the families and then get them back in and get working on the bloody formation that works for us, which is the 3-4-3. And do not, Danny, do not try and play 4-2-3-1 again until we've got the place to do it. It's quite simple, but no, it has come at a good time, just to reset, and let's hope. I mean, the Huddersfield loss was a seminal moment, wasn't it? Because he said they had that team meeting. I think it was quite a frank discussion from all parties. It cleared the air, and they were able to, able to move on and play a lot better. Maybe we need a similar kind of reaction. I don't think we'll need a team meeting this time.
No,
but just. They just need to get their shit together, don't they?
I think the other thing as well is Danny Rayle's come out and he's openly admitted he's got it wrong, which I think straight away, especially when he's changed something, you know, it's not like we've just tried to do the same thing and then it's not worked. The fact that you have changed something, it's not gone right, you can fall back on, like, we, you know, hopefully they fall back on what they know works. So from a player's point of view, you know, if you try and put yourself in a player's position at the moment, we tried something different. It's not worked. You can just go, well, it's nothing. Yes, it's down to me as a person, but you think, well, actually, we know how to do this, what we were doing before. If the managers, what the worst thing would be is if it's not worked, you've got pummeled 6-0 and Gaffer thinks that that's the right way to play. And then kind of persists on doing that. The fact that he's come out and openly said, I got it wrong, would indicate to me that he's not going to do that in the next game, and he's going to, you know, go back to what's tried and tested. So it does take a little bit of pressure off the players that has to call that responsibility, because the last thing you want is players playing, you know, shit in the pants in these final 8 games. You want them to be fully committed into this and believing in what the gaffer's trying to do, which, yeah, you're probably right. And you mentioned earlier that they wasn't probably, you know, they probably wasn't buying into it a great deal. You could see fairly early on that it weren't working. But yeah, I mean, do you think this defeat is going to affect the players?
I think there was a bit of PTSD from the other hammerings that we've had from Southampton and Huddersfield in that display yesterday.
Yeah,
I think once it got to 2 and 3. I felt, looking at the faces, it was almost as if it's, oh God, here we go, and they didn't just have it in them to push through that and try and do something about the situation. Just try and stop conceding goals, it was a meek surrender.
Yeah.
It was poor. But we've got Danny's got a couple of weeks to sort it out. And Sasha Lentz, I suspect, he's going to have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, it could be having a lot of one-to-ones.
The mind coach, you know. Yeah,
it could be having a lot of one-to-ones, I think, in the next coming days, trying to sort something out.
Can we get his son-in-law, Timo Werner, up and dress him in a Jan Pervader outfit and see if we can sneak him on? That might be a solution.
Well, he's not done great for Tottenham, has he, recently? So, I don't know.
Well, it'd be all right at the Championship level, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, he'd like to think so. I mentioned earlier on about the points from falling behind, and then we've only got 4. Just on that, Ipswich have gone behind 19 times this season versus our 24. I said 19 earlier for us. 22 defeats we've had, obviously. Anyway, Ipswich, they fell behind 19 times, which is quite a considerable number. They've won 7, drawn 7, and lost only 5, which again shows you the difference in the mentality. And the quality as well, and I suppose that the belief in what they're doing. I do feel that had we, you know, had we kept with Darren Moore, I'm not necessarily saying Darren Moore is a better manager, just from the keeping things together and using that, you know, that belief that we'd bought up, you know, and built up, sorry, from Peterborough and from beating Barnsley in the final, would have, you know, we certainly wouldn't be sat here with, you know, going behind 24 times and winning one, drawing one and picking 4 points up. That, you know, teams are looking at that now and thinking, get that early goal, they're not going to come back. You know, there's only Millwall that have a worse record. Millwall and Rotherham are the only two teams that haven't won a game from going behind. Rotherham have come back 5 times. I mean, look, they've had a lot of times to try it. 29 times they've gone behind this season, which is staggering, really. Yeah, Millwall have only managed 3 draws, so they're another team that have not won. But yeah, obviously it is international break next week. Like I said, we play Brazil on Saturday, I think it is. We being England. After that, it's the Easter weekend. So we've got Swansea on Good Friday, and then it's a trip to Middlesbrough on Easter Monday. These next two games, I mean, Swansea have come into a little bit of form of late. Just beat Cardiff in the Welsh Derby 2-0, 3 wins from their last 5. I mean, they're 8 points ahead of us on 46 points, probably, you know, just far enough ahead to not really be in any sort of trouble at the moment. But it's a game at home, that one, Steve, and we need to bounce back, don't we?
We do. It don't matter whether we've got Bannon or Pervader, you know, whether we've got them or not. I think we need to win that game. I really do. And it's concerning because Swansea aren't mugs. They've got a good squad. They've got some good players. Jamal Lowe, you know. Yeah. He'd have been great in a Danny Roll team, wouldn't they? And yeah. We were in for him at the beginning of the season. It's a massive game. As is the Borough game. I mean, people often say that Christmas and Easter is the time when, you know, the complexion of things can change very rapidly because you've basically got 2 or 3 games in a short space of time, you know, so we could be coming out the other side with 6 points and being in a position of safety, or we could come out with no points and be adrift. It's a very, very important 3 days.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. I mean, Middlesbrough, I mean, they've been playing teams around us, haven't they? And they've been perpetually. I've been thinking, oh, Borough will beat them. That'll be all right. And then you look, and they bloody lost. How many times has that happened? Yeah. You know, against teams around that Borough have lost. So I think, in a way, I think Borough might be a more winnable game for us than Swansea.
Yeah,
because they are dreadful against lower teams.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking. You said that, but you know, they drew against Blackburn this weekend. They beat Birmingham. They beat QPR, both away from home. Then they did go on a bit of a spell where they couldn't buy a win. Lost to Preston, lost to Leicester, lost to Plymouth, lost to Stoke as well. So that's probably where that's come from. The fact that, you know, not doing us any favours whatsoever. For me, it does kind of hinge on whether Bannon and Pervader are fit. I think we've got to go into it thinking that they're not. And this is where these players in this squad need to stand up and be counted. You know, this is where I think every Wednesday fan now would say they don't really care about the performance. I don't care how we play in these next 8 games. All I care about is whether it's 3 points at the end of it. You know, if we can park the bus for all I care. We can, you know, we can give up all the possession. We can play poorly, but as long as we end up with 3 points and we start, you know, climbing back up that league and get out this goddamn relegation zone for once, because, you know, we've been in it, I think, since the Preston game is when we went into the bottom three. and we haven't come out of it at all. You know, very reminiscent of last time we got relegated out of the Championship. Obviously, that was down to a points deduction. It felt like we had worse than a points deduction at the start of the season, you know, giving teams a 10-point head start. And I just, you know, it's just about the players showing that they've got that desire to win. I do feel if we're playing the way that we have played in recent weeks, these two games aside, Leeds and Ipswich, I feel we've got more than enough. I think a lot of that was probably down to Jan Pavard, and all right, he's not scored goals, but I think that what he did and how he kind of teams are having to put two men on him at times, and it was giving space elsewhere. You know, it's no surprise that since he's come in, we had gone on that decent run. The fact that he could be missing does really concern me, because you know who you're then looking to provide that sort of creativity. I suppose you've really just got to go back to basics and just get the ball wide and just whip the ball into the box. You know, and then you're looking at Ugbo and going, "Go on, Ugbo, do what you've been doing." You know, you've had a bit of a dry spell two games that he's not scored in three games. It certainly feels a dry spell considering what he's been doing previously. But then, you know, you're looking to him and going, you've got to do the business. You've got to put the ball in the back of the net. Is that going to put pressure on him? Is he going to be able to, again, stand up and be counted and do what he needs to do? I don't know. Like, we're going to find out, aren't we, Steve? And I mean, I'm guessing you're probably going to be less confident that we can do it than you were, you know, at midday on Saturday.
Yeah, bound to be. You know, bound to be when your best two creative players might not be playing. But hey, that's what you've got a squad for. You know, perhaps it's time for Misabra and Gassama to step up to the plate a little bit more. I mean, I thought they both went missing yesterday. I mean, they're going to be our main creative outlet, and they've got to perform. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
So Danny needs to get Sasha Lenz in their heads all this this fortnight or however many days is it, 12 days.
Yeah.
He needs to get Sasha Lenz in their heads and get them functioning and playing to capability, because they are both capable of pulling something out and doing enough to get two or three goals.
Yeah,
they just
got to
do it.
It's just tough, isn't it? Because you know, you look as well, the number of goals they've scored, 30 goals this season from 38 games. It's not even a goal a game that we're averaging. Rotherham have scored 30 goals so far this season, all just to compare. Huddersfield 42, and QPR and Stoke have also struggled. Plymouth, they haven't, 54 goals they've scored this season. They've actually conceded more than what we have this year. But it's goals have been a problem, whether that's the confidence or, you know, confidence to pull the trigger. We haven't scored enough goals from midfield. You know, I thought Will Volks would have, you know, he hasn't scored one. I think Barry Bannon's only chipped in with a couple. I think he perhaps could have scored a few more. You know, none of the defenders have scored, I don't think. Marvin Johnson's got a few, obviously, but in terms of the centre-backs, not one goal from a centre-back this season, which is quite surprising. You'd expect them, you know, each centre-back to at least have one, maybe two, you know, throughout the course of the season, especially from set pieces and everything else. And yeah, it's just got to change. The only thing that I'm holding on to is, you know, we got beat this weekend. We haven't really lost ground on many teams. You know, Huddersfield have drawn, Blackburn have drawn, QPR have drawn. They've pulled a point further away than what they started. There's some shit teams down the bottom of the Championship. Birmingham, they've not won in six. Well, I'm just looking at the last six. They've not won one. They've just drawn one game. Let me see if I can get the form for the last six. Rotherham, 1 point, they're down and out. Birmingham, 1 point. Plymouth, they've only picked up four. Huddersfield, you know, all right, they beat, who did they beat? Watford, I think it was. They've only got 5 points, one win and two draws, three defeats. They've not had that new manager bounce that they were expecting. Blackburn, they've got 5 points. Stoke, six. Like, all these teams are down there just in comparison. We're on 12 points. We're still, you know, despite those two defeats, we're still the sixth best form side in the championship as it stands. There's a lot of red L's, and most of them teams that have got the red L's next to them are the teams that are down there at the bottom. So as much as we're panicking, well, I don't know if we're panicking, you know, as much as we're being quite negative, there's going to be other podcasts, you know, that are speaking at the same time as us, and they're going to be speaking exactly the same, thinking, "Oh, how are you going to do that?" I suppose the only difference is we're 23rd in the league at the moment. So if it stays as it is, we're in deep trouble.
I do feel, though, if the day comes that we win and we move out of the bottom three, I think that'll be a massive psychological positive for the squad.
Yeah, it's that kind
so
of...
That day can't come soon enough for me.
Yeah, look...
If we can just get out of it, it just looks different, feels different, and, again, piles even more pressure on the team that gets dropped into the bottom three. Because your Blackburns, your Birminghams, your Plymouths, they haven't really been in the bottom three, have they? And if they do drop down into the bottom three, it'll be a huge psychological blow to those teams.
Well, I think, I want to go as far as saying it's been Rotherham, us, and then it's been QPR for a lot of the season. Only recently, obviously Huddersfield have dropped into it now. Stoke was down there, weren't they? Until they've picked up a couple of wins in recent weeks. I think that's it. I don't think any other team other than those five have been in the bottom three this season. Or certainly I can't remember. I mean, maybe right at the start, you know, after the first couple of games. But once it's kind of settled down, it has just been us. And I think you're right. You know, if we do get out of it, it will be psychological. You know, a massive boost, but then you become the hunted again, don't you? Danny Rowe has been talking a lot about the hunter and the hunted, and when you're the hunted, you know, it's an all different type of pressure in it. Then, you know, you are looking over your shoulder, whereas at the moment we've lost and they're still ahead of us. It's just how far ahead of them as are they? Answer is not very. You know, it's mad that we could win on. You know, we could win on Friday against Swansea. We could win on Monday against Middlesbrough. 6 points. Results go our way. You could be like 16th, 17th, 18th in league. Like, absolutely ridiculous. I think someone said Swansea. Was it Swansea? It might not mean Swansea. Cardiff. They're like four or five places from the playoffs, but yet only 10 or 12 points from relegation as well. It might have been Swansea, actually. Yeah, Swansea, 15th, six points off the relegation zone, but yet only, you know, 7 or 8 places off the playoffs. The championship is absolutely mental. Before we wrap up, Steve, I'm just having a look at some of the other fixtures. Huddersfield have got Coventry and Stoke next. Coventry are flying. Stoke, massive 6-pointer. They're not, you know, they both can't win that game. So someone is going to slip up, maybe both of them. Birmingham, they've not won in the last 6. They've got QPR next, another massive 6-pointer. And then Preston. QPR have got, obviously, Birmingham. And then they travel to Swansea. Stoke have got Hull. Hull are looking to get into the top 6. And then the aforementioned Huddersfield in a 6-pointer. Plymouth, only 1 win in the last 10, 5 points from a possible 30. They've got to travel to Norwich on Friday, and then they host Bristol City. So that's going to be tough. Norwich are in 6th. All right, Bristol City are pretty much mid-table, but Plymouth are awful at home at the moment. And then Blackburn, no win in 9, 6 draws in those 9 games, but still no win. They've got Ipswich at home on Friday, and then Sunderland, they travel to Sunderland on the Monday. So, yeah, they're not gimmies, are they? You know, these games, they've all got tough fixtures. It's just we've got to capitalise, haven't we? You know, nobody capitalised on us, our little fuck up. It's not going to happen every single week. You know, we can't rely on other teams not winning. We've got to press that. We've got to put the pressure on them massively.
Yeah, I think it's a Friday as well. I think the fans have really got to play the part. I think we've got to get as many people in the ground as possible. I don't know what the gate price is this time. I've not looked, but let's hope it's one of the lower ones, which enables more people to afford to be able to go and go. And with it being Good Friday as well, hopefully more people will go. We really need to play our part on Friday. Because if we are missing Pervader and Bannon, we need to cheer that team on and try and cheer them over the line if we can.
Yeah, it's huge. It's a Category F match and a double discount for all adult members as well. So it says ticket prices start from just £17 for adult members and £5 for under 11 members on the COP. So, if you're not a member, it's still it's only £27 on the COP. So, yeah, get yourself down there. Be that, you know, cliche, be the 12th man and everything else. I think, you know, we know what Hillsborough's like when we get behind him. You know, it can be a cauldron of noise, can't it? And yeah, they could well need us. If we haven't got the likes of Bannon, if we haven't got Pervader, you know, we look to those players, don't we, for that creative outlet. It might just be that we have to just grind out a result and, you know, some big tackles, some, you know, and everything else. And if we can just get behind them, we can make that difference. Steve, massive thanks for joining me. I know it's been tough being having to talk after.
It's my week, to be honest. We lose 6-1, 6-0. Oh.
I know, yeah, especially how well it's been going as well. But no, this is it, isn't it? You know, you have to take the rough with the smooth and everything else. But no, Steve, massive thanks for joining me. Do really appreciate it. We're going to be recording Extra Time in a second. I asked you a question, didn't I, earlier, and said, will you ever see Sheffield Wednesday in the Premier League in your lifetime? Which is exactly what we're going to be talking about over on Extra Time. So if you want to listen to that, head over to patreon.com/WTIDpod. There is a 7-day free trial, so no excuse not to give it a go and see what you think. You also get access to the Discord group, which lots of healthy discussions, let's say, in there, which is always good. Thank you very much, everyone, and we'll see you all next time. Cheers, guys.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.